بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. My brothers and sisters, my final talk in this whole tour tonight is about gratitude and thanking Allah and how to sustain the blessings which He has given us, how to live a life of inner peace and tranquility, regardless of the pain and struggles that we go through. So first, let us reintroduce ourselves to one of the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name Ash-Shakur. The name Ash-Shakur means the one who rewards or compensates a small and tiny act, multiples and multiples over, beyond what it deserves. Ash-Shakur is the one who gives you the resources, the ability, and the means to thank Him and to be grateful. And then for doing that, He rewards you and compensates you in multiple ways. Ash-Shakur. He is grateful to you, even though He gave you and me all the means to be grateful to Him. Without it, we can't even be grateful. And we cannot count the blessings and favors that Allah has bestowed upon each and every one of us, Muslim and non-Muslim, man or woman, young or old. But the problem, my dear brothers and sisters, is that when we have a lot of blessings, abundance of blessings around us, those that we can see and those that are hidden, manifested and hidden, we tend to take them for granted. We forget all the blessings that we have. So Allah tells us to read the Quran every day so that we are reminded again and again, and so that we can walk on earth proud, happy, and look at big problems small. For every mountain is made out of pebbles. Allah wants us to see it as little pebbles, not as mountains. But we have to stay close to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to talk to Allah. We have to read His Quran. We have to pray to Allah. We have to be close to Him and remember how much favor He has upon us. Allah says in the Quran,
الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم وسخر لكم الفلك لتجري في البحر بأمره وسخر لكم الشمس والقمر دائبين وسخر لكم الليل والنهار وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ.
Allah says in Surah 14, verse 32, it is Allah who created the heavens and the earth, who sent down water from the heavens and thereby brought forth a variety of fruits as your sustenance, who subjected for you the ships that may sail in the sea by His command, who subjected for you the rivers, who subjected for you the sun, and subjected for you the moon, and both of them are constant on their courses, who subjected for you the night and the day, and who gave you all that you asked for Him for. Were you to count the favors of Allah, you shall never be able to encompass them. Verily, man is highly unjust, exceedingly ungrateful. My brothers and sisters, Allah also says,
أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ.
Have you not seen that Allah has subjected to your services all that is in the heavens and on the earth, and has abundantly bestowed upon you all His bounties, both visible and invisible? Yet some persons dispute regarding Allah without having any knowledge or guidance or any illuminating book. My brothers and sisters, what would you do? What would you give if suddenly you cannot breathe anymore? What would you give? If suddenly you saw your child, God forbid, choking for about 30 seconds or even 5 seconds, what would you give in order for your child to breathe? What would you give for a drink of water if it was denied from you? What would you give if the food and drink stayed in your body and wouldn't come out? What would you give if suddenly you lost half of your sight or all of it? When we were during COVID, a lot of us lost, those of us who got sick, and I'm one of them, I lost my sense of smell. And I couldn't differentiate between scents. I have a friend who was born unable to smell. Unable to smell. And you know when he discovered that he cannot smell, that there's this sense called smelling. He discovered it when he was past the age of 20. You know why? He's never experienced that blessing. And so he never thought about it. But you know what? He was always happy. But when I told him about the sense of smell, wallahi, he thought that you and I, we're like Superman. We've got this amazing power. He said, can you tell that there's a fire burning in another building? I said, yes. He said, how? I said, by smelling. He said, that's amazing. I was in Frankfurt, Germany, a few days ago. And they have this activity where you go inside and you get to experience the life of a blind person. Completely pitch dark. And you go with a group, a team, and you've got to walk around. And it's as if you're outside. You go through streets, you go into a room, a house, you're crossing the road, you're going into a shopping center, just like a normal life. We experienced how a blind person lives their life and how you have to rely on your senses of hearing, smelling, touching. Subhanallah. And the man that was guiding us, he was blind from birth. He says, I've only got 4% vision. And he never knew that people could see 100%. And I asked him, when did you ever question your sight? He said, never. I said, why? He says, I never thought about it. I thought everybody sees the same way I see, like blurry vision. Until he discovered. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted him and enhanced his other blessings, his hearing, his memory. Allah never leaves you alone without giving you something else. But here's the problem, my dear brothers and sisters. When we talk about blessings, unfortunately, the majority of people in the world think, when you say blessing, they think money. Money. If you've got a lot of money, Allah has blessed you. If you don't have much money, you're not blessed. But if you think deeper, blessings are millions. Some people are blessed with looks. Other people are blessed with amazing character. Some people are blessed with love. Some people are blessed with skills which no one else has. Some people are blessed with family. Others are blessed with relationships. Some are blessed with a good job. Some people are blessed with an ability to speak. Some people are blessed with their hearing. Some people are blessed with their writing. Some people are blessed with being liked by others and people thinking of them well with a good reputation. Some people are blessed by being happy even if they live a simple life. Blessings, my dear brothers and sisters, are uncountable. But we think blessing is one type. My brothers and sisters, a question. Increased blessings for a person a sign that Allah is pleased with you and loves you? And if the blessings are decreased, is it a sign that Allah is punishing me or is displeased with me? If I go through some kind of suffering, a loss, does it mean that Allah is displeased with me? Is it a punishment? And if I have more, does that mean Allah loves that person more? The answer is neither. Neither. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Fajr,
فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا كَلَّا
Allah says in the Quran, as for man, when his Lord tests him by exalting him and bestowing his bounties upon him, gives him more blessings, he says, my Lord has exalted me. You know, when you see someone who's got a nice car, is going well, they've got a nice home, their job is going well, whatever, we say, Wallah, Allah must love that person. Allah loves you because you're doing well in your business. Allah loves you because you're doing well on social media. Allah loves you. That's how we think, right? Then Allah says, the person says, my Lord has exalted me. But when he tests him by straightening his sustenance, meaning taking away from it, he says, my Lord has humiliated me. What did I ever do? What did I do to deserve this? I hate this and I hate that. Well, I get these questions all the time. I say, why is God doing this to me? Subhanallah. That's because we fail to realize how many blessings we do have. Every single day, do you know how many times you and I could have been run over? Tragic accidents could have happened. Every single second we are prone to danger, but Allah protects us. But only when something sometimes is taken away from us temporarily, all hell breaks loose. What happened? What happened to understanding where we are in this life and where we're going? This life is a test, my dear brothers and sisters. And you don't get weaker, you get stronger, but it depends how you react to it. Allah then says, he says, my Lord has humiliated me. But when he tests him by taking away some of his sustenance, he says, my Lord has humiliated me. Allah says, no, but neither. Kalla. Allah does not give you more because he loves you more. And he doesn't take away from you because he hates you. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away from Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. He took away his wealth, his children, 14 children. He took away from him even his health. His skin dropped off his body, alayhi salatu wassalam, for 7 or 8 years. Does Allah dislike Ayyub alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Qarun, one of the biggest enemies of Allah, abundance of wealth until people used to say, we wish that we could have what Qarun has. But because he was boastful with his wealth, Allah says, we made him and his wealth become swallowed by the earth. No. Seeing someone in your eyes as if they're successful does not mean Allah has favored them. And seeing someone is not doing so good does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with them. Tayyib, let's answer the question. How do we know if Allah is punishing me or he's pleased with me? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, a lot of people don't know this. In this world right now, there is no real punishment. Punishment is not now. What there is that there are some sufferings that happen. And we can call them punishment, but it's not the punishment which Allah talks about when He says the day of accountability is coming and those who deserve will be rewarded and those who don't deserve it will be punished. No. But what we do go through in this life are sometimes sufferings. Why do we go through them? In order for either as a wake-up call. Perhaps we're going astray and Allah knows that if you died at any moment, your hereafter is not going to be that good. So He knows that by taking something away from that person will straighten up. And by taking away something from that person will actually experience blessings through the suffering that he has never experienced before. Perhaps someone has become so self-centered and narcissistic that their family is falling apart. So Allah takes something away from them. And through that suffering, that person changes. Some people go through a sickness and they realize about themselves a blessing they haven't ever felt before. A feeling of peace and love. You know, today we were picked up in an Uber by a brother who recognized me. May Allah reward him and bless him and his family. He looked so young. I said, "You're about what, 26, 27? He said, "I'm 52. I said, "What do you do to have such a youthful face, mashallah?" And he had such peace and tranquility on his heart, in his face, subhanallah. He says, "I've got 4 daughters. I've got a beautiful wife, mashallah, wallahi. She is my support. She is my prime minister." Somalian brother. "My prime minister. My money that I earn, she does anything. We are one." I said, "MashaAllah, Allah also gave you a wife that is loving to you and supportive." He goes, "I say Alhamdulillah." So what's the secret, Habibi? What's the secret for looking so young and having such a pleasant life? Don't you go through any hardship? He goes, "Oh, I go through a lot of hardship. Went through a lot of traumas in Somalia. And I go through ups and downs. I once had 4 jobs working night and day. Sometimes I didn't see my family." He says, "But Allah has granted me peace in my heart. I pray tahajjud, night prayer, layl, praise in the night." He goes, "That's my best, most beautiful time. I never leave my salah. I give sadaqah. Alhamdulillah, I do my dhikr. Alhamdulillah to Allah. I always say Alhamdulillah for even the smallest thing Allah gives me. And if He gives me more, I say more Alhamdulillah." And he looks at this life as a temporary time that we're going through and that we're only here to be tested. That's the mindset. When you look at something, when you change the way that you look at something, the thing that you're looking at changes. When do you know that Allah is punishing you, or you know, looks like it's punishing you or not? Here's the answer. I want you to look at receiving and losing blessings as a test that comes with a thermometer. Test, thermometer. If the blessing causes you to get closer to Allah and you use it in the right way, then it is a sign that Allah loves you and is pleased with you. But if the blessing that you have received causes you to move away from Allah, then it is a sign of Allah being displeased with you and a warning. Same, if He takes away something from you and you react by doing rebellious actions and not being patient, then you turn that suffering into more of a suffering on yourself. And possibly even it becomes your punishment in this life. But if you persevere through it and it's only temporary, and Allah promises you in the Quran, "Inna ma'al usri yusra," with every piece of hardship, there is abundant ease. He repeats it again, subhana, "Inna ma'al usri yusra," if you didn't get it the first time, with every piece of hardship you go through, there is abundant ease that comes out of it. It is a blessing in disguise. But people just don't look at it the right way. They look at it from a narrow materialistic perspective. So it is up to you and I what becomes of it. And sometimes Allah, this hadith is authentic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes may look at you, that you have been written in His preserved tablet, Lawh al-Mahfuz, that you will receive a particular high level in paradise, inshallah. But unfortunately, so far in your life, maybe Allah has seen that you, your actions, the way you're going right now, if you were to die at any moment, you will not rightfully deserve that high place. But because Allah may know something about you in your heart, or about your past, or about your upbringing, whatever it was that was in your life, maybe you're a disadvantaged person for whatever reason. Could be an upbringing that was traumatic and hard for you. Could be war, could be bullying, could be anything, could be mental illness, whatever it is. Allah may know something about you that is unfair to let you go like that and lose out on your level. So what does he do, subhanah? He sees that your actions and good deeds are not enough. So he does something that he knows you can get through it and be patient enough and come out the other side successful. He takes away something from you or puts you through a type of hardship. It'll only be temporary, but when you pass it, your sins are forgiven and your rank is raised. You are promoted. And so when you die, you reach that high level by being patient with your hardships. My brothers and sisters, how do we sustain our blessings and increase our blessings? There is a way. Number one, showing proper gratitude. If you show proper gratitude for your blessings become full of barakah. Whatever those blessings are, whether it's money, food, house, health, anything, children, family, Allah puts barakah in it. What is barakah? Barakah means its value increases, and no matter if it's a lot or a little bit, you find that it's sustainable. It never runs out. Number two, your blessings are increased or sustained by minimizing frequency of sins. We all sin. We all sin. كُلُّ ابْنِ آدَمَ خَطَّى. All the children of Adam sin. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the best among those who sin are the ones who constantly repent. But frequency of sins affects our blessings. Because the reason Allah forbids certain things upon us is because they are detrimental to us in this world and in the next. They're not good for you. For example, alcohol. Let's just use a very common example that everybody is familiar with. Among the five highest causes, studies have shown, of domestic violence in the world is alcoholism. And what has Allah said? He said, in alcohol and gambling, there is some benefit, but their harm outweighs their benefit. Among the harm is a dysfunctional, violent family. So Allah forbid what is bad for you, and that will decrease your blessings. And you count all the other sins. The less we have sins. And Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to my dear servants, عِبَادِي is a possessive noun. Allah calls you his beloved or his dear or his valuable عِبَاد, worshippers. The ones who have overwhelmed themselves with sin and mistakes. Subhanallah. We sin over sin over sin, yet Allah still calls you my dear, valuable worshippers. It's like a mum or dad who loves you and they will spill their heart out for you and give you all their organs for you to survive at the expense of their own life. And when they see you going in the wrong way, they try every means, but they'll still say, my son, my daughter, I love you. I don't want to see you hurt. Allah tells us, oh my dear servants who have overwhelmed yourself with sins, especially those who have regretted and they feel there's no way out. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not give up. Don't despair from Allah's mercy. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all sins. Just turn back. Turn back. You can always turn back. Number three is istighfar. Among the greatest sustainers of blessings is constantly saying astaghfirullah. Allah says it in Surah Nuh, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. I said to my people, Nuh alayhi salam said to his people, seek Allah's forgiveness. He is opt-forgiving. His forgiveness never runs out. يُرْسِلُ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. The sky will shower upon you blessings, and he will give you wealth and children, and he will give you gardens and rivers. Number four, tahajjud, night prayer and dua. It is the time that is intimate between you and Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses your wealth and your life through night prayer and dua. Have you ever felt that? I remember the days when we had that most beautiful iman feeling. Do you remember those days? You might have been astray and then one day you repented and you became good. Maybe you were not Muslim and you embraced Islam. Do you remember that day how the iman was so beautiful? You ever go through it? When was the last time that you and I went through? Do you remember the last time you prayed in the night and you felt that true love and connection with Allah? Something amazing. It's out of this world. Oh, how much we yearn for it. Night prayer. Number five, humbleness. No matter what you have, don't boast. Don't feel you're more superior than others. Remind yourself, the worst of people had more than you, but Allah destroyed them like Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not favor a person upon what you have or don't have. Number six, charity and sadaqah. Giving charity increases your wealth and your sustenance. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. No wealth has ever decreased because you gave in charity. In fact, giving in charity changes your mindset and channels your mindset towards something called the abundance mindset. Because when you give away from that which you cling on and you rely on that it's going to make you survive, and then you let go of that clinginess to that thing, to that paper money or that gold, whatever it is, you free yourself. And when you free yourself, you become the controller of the money. The money does not become the controller of you. And a Muslim relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is ar-Razzaq. When you donate fi sabilillah, your mind changes. I met billionaires overseas and millionaires, Muslims and non-Muslims. Even the non-Muslims, wallahi, they would say, there's something about giving in charity that we do that helps us increase our money. There's a secret in sadaqah. Number seven, if you want to increase your sustenance, this is a difficult one for a lot of people, but it's doable. Family ties. Family ties. To try your best. Make effort and patience in maintaining family ties. Your parents are your family ties. Your children, your siblings, your brothers, your uncles and aunts, your immediate relatives, your grandparents, they are family ties. You may not get along with all of them in the same way, but you can maintain different levels of closeness with each and every one of them. Let them do what they want. Avoid their harm if they're harming you, but try to enter from a different angle for the sake of Allah, doing goodness. The most happiest person in the world is the one who does all their good deeds only for the sake of Allah. Because you will never be disappointed. Because if you rely on people treating you the same way you treat them, you will always be miserable. Nobody can repay you what you really want except Allah. And Allah reminds us in the Quran, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ. Whatever goodness you put forth for yourselves, you will find it with Allah. هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. Allah is the best to do things for Him, and He has the most enormous rewards for you. So always remember, at least I did it for Allah. I haven't lost anything. They have. Because Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever would like his provision to be increased and his lifespan to be extended, let him uphold the ties of kinship. Sahih Bukhari. You might say, but didn't Allah write how long you're going to live and what your rizq is going to be? Yes, that was in the womb. There is an angel who is entrusted to write how long you live and what your sustenance will be in life. But that's called a secondary qadar. The primary qadar is in a master book with Allah. The master book knows that you are one day going to connect family ties or make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the qadar that was written in the womb, and the qadar that is in the heavens takes place. Did you know that? Two qadars. So continue with that. Because when our parents get older, And when they pass away, we start to remember what we loved about them. We start to miss their voices. And when Allah blesses us with parents and grandparents, you should be the happiest person in the world. When Allah blesses you with children, it is one of the greatest blessings in the world. If Allah were to take your child away, wouldn't you give every organ in your body to just have one day with them? You would give everything away just to have 1 minute with them. You would give everything away. And I finish with this story about Harun al-Rashid, the Khalifa. He once said to a wise scholar of his, as he was being served water, Harun al-Rashid, the Amir, he was served water. And this story came to me when I was hospitalized for COVID. Couldn't breathe, thought I'm going to die. My parents were in an induced coma. I didn't know if they were going to live or not. You probably have family members. May Allah have mercy upon them. And I made a sajda to Allah and say, "Oh Allah, if you keep my parents alive, I thank you. For whatever many years you still want to keep them with me. And if you decide to take them, then I also thank you for the years that you allowed me to be with them." And I remembered this story of Harun al-Rashid where he asked for water from his servant. And a wise scholar named Ibn al-Sammak came along. And Harun al-Rashid said to Ibn al-Sammak, "Give me advice, give me a reminder." So he said to him, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, what would you give if you were to be denied drinking water? If you can't drink water anymore, what would you give so that you can drink again?" And he said, "I will give half of my kingdom just to drink water again." He said, "Drink, Amir al-Mu'mineen." So he drank. When he swallowed the water, the scholar said to him, "Amir al-Mu'mineen, the water is now inside your body. What would you give if that water could not be digested by your body, could not be taken into your body, and cannot be flushed out? You can't urinate. What would you give for it to get out of your body?" He said, "I will give the other half of my kingdom." So then he said, "Uffin limalin la yusawi shurbata ma'in wala bawla." Woe to a wealth and a kingdom that cannot even equal a drink of water and one urination. The blessings that we don't realize. And so Harun al-Rashid began to cry. Let us now go back home tonight and reevaluate the blessings around us that we have not yet seen. Write them down. Write as many blessings as you can, because it's easy to write the things we don't have. Appreciate your parents, appreciate your children, appreciate your friends, appreciate your health, appreciate your wealth, appreciate your safety and your security where you're living, and say thank you Allah night and day, and practice this last sunnah tomorrow morning inshallah, or even tonight, as the Prophet peace be upon him used to do. Look up at the sky, away from this earth, and just ponder and say, "Thank you Allah. Subhanaka wa bihamdik. You're perfect. And I have nothing to complain about. Thank you." Your life will change. Thank you for listening. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.